Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. As we go on with our series on experiencing God, I'd like to start tonight with a poem. It's by Hafez, the 14th century Sufi poet. If God invited you to a party and said, "Everyone in the ballroom tonight will be my special guest," how would you treat them when you arrived? Indeed, indeed. And Hafez knows that there is no one in this world who is not upon his jeweled dance floor. That's the basis for tonight's topic. And that is, God is the jeweler. It's one more way to think about God as we experience God in different ways. I'm Dan Bagley. I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. And I really need to know, where do you want to go with this God as jeweler?
No, actually, what a beautiful poem. He is also one of my favorite poets. Lovely poem. I was thinking of this about the jeweler and the dance floor.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that when God looks at us, he does look at us as that perfect jewel. Like Hafez was inviting us to look at each other, that perfect jewel.
I think that's a really important concept, because how many people do we know that says, "Oh, if you knew all the things I've done or what's happened in my world, you wouldn't think I'm that nice a person." And it's nice to feel that the love of God sees us as we truly are, without the errors, without the mistakes.
Yeah.
I love that thought.
Yeah, I feel many times when I'm meditating and I go in front of God as the jeweler, I feel very disarmed. I don't feel like I have to hold on to anything. I don't feel like I have to, you know, put any kind of walls up. That there's this feeling of invitation of just, yes, I'm here to polish you, but I'm seeing you as this perfect diamond.
That's nice. That is a good. Also, when we think that way, I think it helps us rise up to realize ourselves as better than we maybe have behaved in the past, better than we reacted in traffic, better than snapping at our friends, coworkers, kids, or what have you. So I like that idea that we can see ourselves as better than maybe we give ourselves credit.
Yes, and also that, you know, I feel the mistake we always make is that we look at God the way we are. You know, there's this thing about he creates us in his image. And I think the mistake we make is we create him in our image. I'm thinking a certain thing, I think God's thinking that.
Yeah.
But he's so beautiful that he sees only beauty. He sees only loveliness.
In that sense, there's an E.E. Cummings line where he's referring to his wife, and he says, "And played hostess to my more than me." And when we're seeing God looking at us as if we're better than we maybe think of ourselves in common moments, we can be our more than me.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so I like that. So is this part of the BK approach of seeing oneself as a diamond?
Yes. And I think maybe it comes from this whole Indian culture of the use of gold and jewelry. You know, before you were saying that India is the largest user of gold and jewelry and diamonds in the world. And so there is a whole culture of that jewelry. And so the metaphor of a jeweler really spoke to me when I first came.
Absolutely.
Because I was thinking that, yes, I am an uncut diamond, but I am at the right spot to get polished.
That's very nice. And realizing the cultural differences in things, we chatted before and talking about our expressions, he's the salt of the earth or she's the salt of the earth, really comes from, 100 or so years ago before refrigeration, salt, you had to have salt or you would starve over the winter because it kept the food from spoiling, particularly the meats, which wouldn't have been your problem, but being vegetarian. But within that, the cultural differences still point to commonalities, and that is the purity of intention, the connectedness with God that helps us be better people.
Yes, yes. You know, I was thinking that not only he makes human beings into diamonds, mm-hmm. but also he makes matter. Mm-hmm. He makes people, everyone, nature, everything around us into diamonds, the world into a diamond. And so mm-hmm. this diamond, when you think about a diamond, there mm-hmm. are four characteristics of a diamond, right? The four C's, as people
right.
say. Color, clarity, cut, and carrot.
Oh, good. I couldn't get that last one.
And so it took me a while to figure that out too. And so I was thinking that when as a diamond cutter, so mm-hmm. as a jeweler, as a diamond cutter, he's not only able to look at us as a diamond and see what facet should I polish to bring out the best color, mm-hmm. to make it the highest carat, to make it the best, you know, clarity, all of that. He knows that. And to be able to trust that and to be able to really, mm-hmm. you know, like submit yeah. to that kind of a being polished.
So what are some of the ways of being polished that you find God helping us?
One is I feel very much like he is there mm-hmm. and I have to kind of not hide anything from him. If mm-hmm. there is a blemish in the diamond, I shouldn't hide it.
You should own whatever is there and let it
yes,
be taken care
of. Yes, let it be taken care of. That, like I was saying, I yeah. feel very disarmed. I don't need to really hold on to things. That's one thing. And the other thing is I was mm-hmm. noticing that when you were talking about, oh, I did this bad, what I've noticed is mostly people are very lenient towards themselves. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to other people, uh-huh. they are much more, you know, stricter. And that not only should I look at myself as a diamond, but I should really have that vision for other people and see, how does really God look at this person?
Yeah, because I like that in the poem also, because, you know, if we can see that, as God said, this person is my special guest in this earthly plane, exactly. on this bejeweled dance floor, then we can say, oh, well, you weren't what I had in mind, but I can trust that there is a greater power than I that maybe sees good there.
Yes, and also the power in me. Mm-hmm. That I'm able to see good,
absolutely.
That people are able to live up to that good.
Absolutely. Which, you know, I've often felt that angry people have angry gods.
Right,
and that's
because
that
we create him in our image.
Yeah, we create God in our own image. And so if I'm angry and hateful, then I'm sure he's angry and hateful too. Which is kind of the opposite of how we ought to approach it. What
exactly.
is the highest and best for everyone?
Yes.
And
when you think of God, I feel you have to think of the most highest moral, beyond moral, most
yeah.
highest being you can think of, like the most supreme qualities, the most, you know,
yeah.
make a perfect being and attribute the most supreme qualities, and that's what God's qualities are like. And when we don't do that, or another mistake I feel we make is when we take too much credit.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that my beauty, my shine is coming from association with God.
Right.
If I forget that, or if I make a mistake of thinking, oh, I'm doing something, then I feel my value of the diamond comes down.
Which also leads to a lack of authenticity, because if we're doing it, it's all about me and what I project, then we get confused with the image versus the actuality. And authenticity is perhaps one of the greatest beauties there is.
It is
the God force coming through us.
Just being real about things,
yeah.
yes.
I mean, you wouldn't look at a little baby and say, pull your stomach in, sticking out. And you wouldn't do that. I mean, babies
yes,
are so
wouldn't.
Wonderfully authentic, even in their sadness or their crying when they're hungry or wet or whatever, to their total joyfulness in the moment of discovering toes and fingers and things on the floor to put in their mouth.
Yeah.
So what else on this? One of the notes you shared with me is God accepts us and says, you're mine. And I am yours. Talk to me about that.
You know, this I don't know if I shared with you when I first, my first experience when after I've taken the meditation course with the Brahma Kumaris was this experience of God.
Was that here in the States?
Here. And so what happened was when, and that was the first experience I had. I am yours and you are mine. And that feeling of belonging was so euphoric. I felt I don't need water, I don't need food, this is all I need. But apart, I mean, for me, I feel that kind of belonging to God or to anyone is as important as food and water. You know, people talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and but I feel belonging is right up there. It's right down here, but it's right up there with everything. And that is that feeling I get about God being mine and I'm being God's. And that when I have this relationship with him as my jeweler, as the one who polishes the diamond, as the one who's making me valuable, is then I feel that way. I feel that because I have submitted to his polishing, that he has accepted, because I've accepted him, he has accepted me.
So that's an important piece, because I'm getting from you that you had this God-given value before you realized it. But in realizing it, it becomes more of a way of life, more of a way of self-acceptance, without self-aggrandizement.
Right. You know, in a way, you need to be feel special. Because you have to understand that we are here to do very important work. So everyone is special because everyone's doing important work and everyone needs to feel that way. But it can't go too much on the other side where you're thinking that
I'm special and you're not.
Or I'm so special that I don't need help. Or, you know, I can do everything or any of those things. You know, it goes the wrong way. So it's important to understand our speciality, but it's also important to understand that I am special because of my recognition. And another aspect of a jeweler, I feel, is that he gives us pearls of wisdom. And that is what I feel has transformed me. You know, we always talk about in our classes and our lessons about God being the ocean of knowledge and the purifier. And so because he's the ocean of knowledge, he's the purifier. And because, and that kind of purification is what makes me the jewel, that perfect diamond, that he gives me those pearls of wisdom that purify the soul.
You're a veritable store of jewelry. So within this is people are sitting at home and saying, well, how do I apply this to my today or tonight or tomorrow?
There are two things you would need to remember. First, go in front of God. However you are, whatever you are, submit yourself as a offering, and also accepting God that way, that you can't have, you know, things on him saying, I want from this from you, I don't want this from you. You can't have all of those little things going on, agendas going on. That's one. And the other one is looking at yourself as your perfect self and looking at other people as their perfect.
Their perfect selves also. So within that then, is it meditation the way you come before God? Are there other ways you're doing it as well?
We call our things meditation, but coming before God doesn't have to have a name. Do you have
a
name?
It's like an awareness.
Yes, awareness. It's a relationship you have to build. It's actually the most important relationship I feel one would have to build. But it's a relationship you have to build. And after you build a relationship, you can't, you don't need to call it a meditation. It can be a walking meditation. You can be sitting down and doing it. You could be in traffic and doing it. It doesn't matter.
It's an appreciation of the moment in the moment. That's it. So within this, as you look around and see people walking into the BK Center here for the first time, do you see them as diamonds in the rough, diamonds?
And hopefully not, because my whole thing is I have to see them as this completely polished, multifaceted diamond.
Lovely coming in, and you just can't wait to see how lovelier they're going to discover themselves. That's nice.
It's a different angle to things, that you can see this is the work they have to do, or you see them finished.
Yeah.
And let them get to that finished point.
Yeah, I when I was a professor, I would see my students not as the acorn, but as the potential oak tree. And it was seeing that, and I sometimes would think, if you could see you the way I see you, you would be so much more confident in your ability to do well. Well, I hope these have given you some ideas as you've watched the conversation and experienced God in a slightly different, maybe even better way than had you not sat with us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Shereen.
Thank you, Dan.
Goodbye.